Always on the cutting edge. What's the Cape Drive Time? Welcome back to the show. 20 years into this millennium, this event-filled millennium, humanity is facing its first major threat, a microscopic-filled pathogen, a virus which in itself is merely doing what life forms are programmed to do, to breed and to multiply. Yes, we're talking about coronavirus, but from a slightly different perspective, because Angelo Fick, who's director of research at ASRI, has written a piece called Empathy and Social Solidarity in Responding to COVID-19. Angelo Fick, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum to you and to your listeners.
Wa alaikum salam. This is an important thing, isn't it? A number of statements dealing with COVID-19 have been beginning to allude to the fact that we have to actually have some compassion in this whole equation, because if we don't, a lot of people are really going to come up short.
Yes, and I think it's important that the medical science and the epidemiology, immunology and virology experts are being adhered to, that we listen to them and follow what is based on their kind of advice, on based on their expertise. But I think we also need to think of the social and political consequences of the pandemic for the way we live and the way in which we live in the future. And it's not just that we'd be horrible for large numbers of vulnerable people to die around us. We have lived through phenomena in history where that has happened, and it's often had very dire consequences for the survivors, if you can think of trauma that follows in a society in which large numbers of people have died among us. But it also means that if we are willing to sacrifice people in this cold, calculated way, and imagine that we will not ourselves be among those, the concern is that we are building a world of much greater harshness and cruelty that will follow the epidemic once we're able to deal with it. And that, I think, is something that we must concern ourselves with.
Yeah, I mean, in your piece, you quote somebody called Graham Codrington, who has perhaps got one of the most sane YouTube inserts on COVID-19 amongst a whole bunch of crazy stuff, when he says that each of us is only as safe as the most vulnerable members of our societies. That has a lot of resonance, doesn't it?
Yes, and it should also have resonance for many of us who survived in societies where other far more kind of manageable threats were faced and dealt with. So Codrington's position, or Codrington's view and advice, is that instead of thinking selfishly, if I'm going to survive, I need to isolate myself from everybody else, you also need to think about how disease vectors work and actually begin to think of assisting and, as somebody else indicated, behaving in a way that you would want yourself to be treated. And this golden rule, as Karen Armstrong, a historian of religion, has pointed out, is shared by all religions the world over. This idea that we are only as good as our treatment of the people who need help most in our societies. And where we are now, we've certainly lost some of our way. And here is an opportunity, and not just an opportunity, but an absolute alarming moment for us to realize that the way in which we have come to this moment needs to change if we want to have a different and more caring approach, not just to society, but to ourselves in the future.
Now, one thing that is starting to resonate, and it's quite amazing how many people are beginning to talk about it, a lot of people, and you also mentioned this, are starting to say that our whole economic model of how we're operating in the 21st century has to change. Something's got to shift. Something's got to give, in the sense that we have to become more human.
And also because we now sit in a situation where the biggest threats to our existence as a species are coming from the environment, we need to heed what the scientists have told us for at least 25 years. So while corona has not been shown to be consequent to global climate change, the climate emergency is going to release pathogens into the environment that haven't been around since before the last ice age. So things in north of Siberia are busy melting, the permafrost is disappearing, and as a result, things that have been frozen there for thousands of years are now going to be in the environment. We need to use this as an exercise, this moment with the coronavirus, to think, are we going to approach this? How are we going to rearrange our societies? The economistic thinking, which says that only that which is profitable is valuable, needs to go. Survival is going to be far more tenuous, and we need to work hard at it. And so cooperation is crucial to our existence as a species, and we need to remember that, because the future is going to require of us to cooperate rather than to compete, and that would require imagining a very different, not just economic system, but social system. And in this moment, everybody who is temporarily employed, people who work on zero-hour contracts, people who work, who get paid only when they go to work, all of them will be affected when services are interrupted, when we have a total shutdown, and we need to think of those people whose vulnerability is such that we cannot simply imagine the problem away. And that would require action and interaction from those of us who are not employed in those precarious positions. And it may require, as you indicate, and as the mayor of Madrid has already indicated, a wholesale reorganization of the economic system and the way in which we value people.
Do you think in South Africa, at least perhaps, we've got a fighting chance of doing this, maybe better than most parts of the world? Because if one looks at Europe and the so-called developed world, inverted commas, there seems to be a bit of a selfishness about the way that life has been conducted, that at least in Africa, we have some surviving semblances of, I suppose, what we would crudely call Ubuntu.
Well, the common humanity and the commonality of fate of populations is something that many people and many societies are rediscovering. So in the very north of Europe, in the socialized democracies of the Nordic countries, so in Norway, for example, they've already started announcing measures that those in precarious employment and the unemployed will be given 80% of their average income over the last 3 years until the virus abates, until the shutdown ends. In places like Italy, what we have seen is that the old spirit of communalism has come into being, and people think as communities rather than just as individuals who can profit. And so we in South Africa can use those examples, but also from our own examples. If you go back to the 1980s, where communities worked together under very stressful conditions against a very repressive and cruel apartheid state, its police services, its army, those measures are there. We saw this in the way in which South Africans reacted to towns with water shortages. Mm-hmm. They didn't just let it go. And I think it's important for us to take our own lessons, take our own behaviors, think about what was best in ourselves during moments of crisis, take those lessons, and learn from others. And then also to pass those lessons on, because again, there is no point in isolating South Africa. This is not the kind of problem that is being faced by nation states. This is a problem that's being faced by us as a species. And our response and as a species is what's going to determine our continued survival. This idea that if you simply close borders and shut yourself off, no walls have ever been high enough. The Great Wall of China did not keep the barbarians out of the empire. The walls of Jericho fell. The Great Walls of Sandton and Constantia are not going to stand forever. And because pathogens do not take walls seriously. And we need to be aware that what we have here, as the World Health Organization, as the United Nations Secretary General has reiterated, is a global challenge. And we will have to meet it as inhabitants of the globe. And this may be an object lesson for us to change not just our behavior in the present, but to begin to imagine different ways of being together on a very, very lonely little planet in the future.
Absolutely. And something that you've put on your page, which kind of ties into what we are saying, is the solution is not charity. And it's sort of summing up what we're saying. It's not charity, but it's actually humanity. And that distinction has to be made.
Yes. And so people who are busy hoarding and rushing out to stores and buying lots and lots of things, One understands the panic behavior, one understands the desire to think of yourself, but one must also think of, you know, everybody else. And so greater sharing might be necessary. And when we start thinking of what are we going to eat, should we end up in a situation where we can't access the stores, we need to think, what about the people who don't have the resources that we have, and begin to think of cooperating, because it isn't as simple as simply putting up armed guards and keeping, you know, people at bay. No society has ever survived by pretending that the hungry, the isolated, the left behind are simply going to stay where they are. We need a greater social compact. We need to work together. And this is not in a sentimental way. This is in the way in which we're all going to need to survive and live in a new world, because the other option, the alternative, is far too frightening to consider, because that other alternative is a dog-eat-dog, very ugly world in which none of us get to survive. And that, I think, is crucial, that this is all of us together or none of us at all. And there will be casualties. There are going to be people who will die. And we need to prepare ourselves for those numbers and begin to think of how we're going to care for and help the people who are going to be traumatized. And some of us are going to be the traumatized, and some of us who are older, like myself, may be among those who die. And it's not a matter of simply thinking about yourself, but to think about the world that you are making, that we are all making together in our response to the coronavirus epidemic. Because if we make an ugly world by ugly behavior in the present, we will have to live, those of us who survive, in that ugly world. And I don't think most people are prepared or even willing to go in that direction.
Angela Fick, Director of Research at ASRI, talking about empathy and social solidarity as a response to COVID-19. It's been a pleasure chatting. Thanks a lot.
Shukran.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
All right, time for...